In the name of one God,
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. So this morning we experience liturgical whiplash. 1 minute we hear the crowd shouting, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." And the next, we're the crowd crying, "Crucify him." Not more than half an hour separates the triumphal entry into Jerusalem from death on the cross as we collapse the events of an entire week into 1 hour. We began with green palms, signs of new life and victory, but we end at the cross, a sign of death and defeat, or so it seems. As nice as it might be to linger on the celebration of the palms, the rapid turn of events does serve important purposes. It reminds us that life can turn on a dime. As the old Frank Sinatra song says, that's life, riding high in April, shot down in May. We've all experienced times in our lives when suddenly things head south really fast. A job loss, a bad diagnosis, the death of a friend or a loved one. Palm Sunday reminds us that God knows what it's like to experience the fickleness of life and to suffer pain, sorrow, loss, and even death, painful death. We can take comfort in knowing that Jesus has experienced it all. Palm Sunday also compensates for the fact that, sadly, many people won't be back in church until next Sunday. Now, I'm sure that doesn't include anyone here today, and I do encourage you all to participate in the Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday services, especially 7 o'clock on Good Friday, to experience the full story of Holy Week. But for those who can't, today allows us to enter into the death of Jesus before celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. Oh, I guess I should have given you a spoiler alert. I guess I've let the cat out of the bag. The story doesn't end at the cross. Each year we get to hear two different versions of the Passion Gospel during Holy Week. Today always uses the gospel appointed for the particular year, Matthew, Mark, or Luke. And Good Friday uses John's gospel. The four gospels give us somewhat different perspectives on the Passion story. It's like being able to walk all the way around a statue and to examine it from different angles and perspectives. And because we are in year C, we've just heard Luke's version of the Passion. What we have heard in Luke's Passion narrative reflects perfectly the unique stories that have preceded today's events, perhaps most notably the parable of the prodigal son. You may have been here 2 weeks ago when we read and heard about the parable of the prodigal father, the forgiving father. The younger son demands his inheritance from his father, leaves for a distant land where he squanders all of his money on wine, women, and song. He's left feeding the pigs and starving to death, so he decides to return home and to beg his father's forgiveness. The father runs to welcome him back, forgiving him before even hearing his son's confession. The father treats him as a returning hero, not the ungrateful bum he actually is. Extravagant and probably undeserved love and forgiveness. And so it is with Jesus, caring enough to urge peace at his arrest and to heal the ear that is cut off of the high priest's slave. He doesn't condemn Peter for denying him three times. Peter's story is our story. How often do we deny Jesus by what we do or fail to do? Jesus forgives his executioners at the cross as he forgives us. Jesus promises paradise to the thief, showing that no one is beyond saving, not even us. And then Jesus dies peacefully and prayerfully. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Extravagant and probably undeserved love and forgiveness. At the beginning of our service this morning, we heard how the people spread their cloaks on the road for Jesus to ride over on his donkey. As I was reading that gospel to you this morning, it struck me for the first time that Jesus was riding a donkey that had never been ridden. He's pretty lucky it didn't buck him off. You know, that would have added a little drama to the triumphal entry. Anyway, you may have noticed that in Luke's gospel, there's not a mention of palms, palm branches. So if we only had Luke's gospel, I guess today we'd be calling Cloak Sunday. But we might not understand why cloaks are actually very important to our story this morning. For many people in the ancient world, their cloak would have been their most valuable possession. Cloaks provided warmth, shelter, and protection, and they were guarded carefully, mended as needed, and kept essentially for a lifetime. The people were literally giving up everything for Jesus when they laid their cloaks on the path as the donkey bearing Jesus approached Jerusalem and his ultimate sacrifice for us. What are we willing to lay down? What are we prepared to give to Jesus as he prepares to lay down his life for us? What is our response to Jesus' extravagant love and forgiveness for us? Last Sunday, many of us were here to listen to Malcolm Gait, priest, poet, scholar, as he preached about Mary's anointing of Jesus a few days before his death. Malcolm has written a series of poems and reflections about Lent and Holy Week. This book, Word in the Wilderness, a poem a day for Lent and Easter. Well, his writing for Palm Sunday takes aim at this question of how might we be prepared to respond to Jesus? And I'd like to share just a brief portion of his reflection and then read his Palm Sunday poem to us. So Malcolm says, in today's poem, I let the outer story of Palm Sunday pose some questions for my inner life. What would it really mean to welcome Jesus as king into the Zion of one's own heart? How is the city already occupied and governed? Who is in charge now? And how is power divided? Is there an uneasy compromise in my own inner Jerusalem, such as there was in the outer Jerusalem of Jesus' time? Is there a grand-looking temple where lots of time-worn rituals can be repeated as long as it makes no trouble for the secular administration? And that secular administration, the part of me that makes the day-to-day financial decisions about who should have my time, for how long and for how much, the administration that decides what to buy and what to sell, what to acquire and what to lose. For whom is it really working? Am I in charge there? Can I invite Jesus in to all of that? And if I do, what will happen? And here is Malcolm's sonnet for Palm Sunday. Now to the gate of my Jerusalem, the seething holy city of my heart, the Savior comes, but will I welcome him? Oh, crowds of easy feelings make a start. They raise their hands, get caught up in the singing, and think the battle won. Too soon they'll find the challenge. The reversal he is bringing changes their tune. I know what lies behind the surface flourish that so quickly fades. Self-interest and fearful guardedness. The hardness of the heart, its barricades, and at the core, the dreadful emptiness of a perverted temple. Jesus, come, break my resistance, and make me your home. Today, our story ends with Jesus' body lying in the tomb. But the story ends with a comma, not a period. I invite you to return next Sunday to hear the rest of the story. Amen.